Hey now, we're doing it live. You're listening to the Julio from New York Show 2.0, episode 106, iPhone 11 and other nonsense. Recorded live on Friday the 13th, that's September 13, 2019. Today's episode will be about the things that happened this week, things that are happening with me in school, and other stuff. As always, this is my audio diaries, where I rant, I rave, I reminisce, and I spew whatever's on my mind. If this is your cup of tea, by all means, sit back, relax, and unwind. Otherwise, there are plenty of podcasts out there for you to listen to. How's everyone else doing? It's been a while since my last recording of New York City, because, as I mentioned, school. I am busy with school, and I really shouldn't be doing this episode either, but I felt compelled. I made myself enough time, so I'll be able to make it this week, but, you know. And welcome back to the show. Once again, I am your host, Julio, from New York. This is episode 106, recorded on Friday the 13th. I'm not a superstitious person, so that's why I don't mind recording or doing anything on the 13th of a Friday. Anyways, iPhone 11 and other nonsense. Let's get right to it. So obviously, 2 days ago was 9/11. And everyone, especially in New York, wants to remember what happened in 9/11 on the year 2001. You know, the Twin Towers collapsed. They were knocked down by terrorists with airplanes. A lot of havoc happened. My mom was in Chelsea, so she was a few miles away from the chaos, but obviously she was also affected. My brother, too, was living with her at the time. I was married. I think this was 2 years married, 2 years in, because I got married in 99. I was living in Westchester County because that's, you know, I went to college. I met my wife, and then 2 years later, we got married. I decided to leave school and start working. I was working in home insurance at the time. Anyways, it's been a while since, well, 2001, so 18 years. And even then, I was fed up with them since like 2000. I want to say I started getting annoyed with this date by 2005, 2006, around the Bush administration. Well, this happened on the Bush administration, but he got reelected as well because of this. And we used this event to get into a fake war, into a war with Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq. We got into a false war of Iraq, claiming some, you know, weapons of mass. They were developing weapons of mass destruction, and also somehow linking them to the terrorist attack of 9/11. That in fact did not happen. It was the Taliban. It was Osama bin Laden. It was Saudi Arabia endorsed, financed, and so on. Associations, but of course we will never do anything to them because they are our allies, they are our gas buddies, and of course they also buy our weapons. So to this day we still have this alliance with Saudi Arabia. We do not ever try to associate 9/11 or any terrorism attacks with them, even though they happen to always be financing the terrorist activities, especially and helping bring about the havoc that's happening in the Mideast. But I digress. So there's that thing that annoys me. So since 2006, I've been annoyed because we were in this false war because of, well, the Bush administration, but also, you know, playing with people's sympathies of 9/11. And we're still doing it to this day. Giuliani, who was the mayor of New York City at this time, now he has some weird fascistic, like, movie trailer type of website promoting something. I don't even remember. I only saw a clip of it on the Majority Report. But that's a little annoying, especially because of the way he ran his operations during 9/11. But yet they hail him to be like this hero figure outside of New York. Inside of New York, it's sort of a mixed bag. And then, of course, there's the first responders who just recently, I want to say a month ago at least, John Stewart had to once again rally up the troops and bring them to Congress to once again renegotiate their medical care. Because these people, the name's in it, right? It's in the name. They're first responders. They went in to that chaos and tried to rescue people, and their health was affected by it. They developed cancer and all kinds of illnesses due to the asbestos and other carcinogens and what have you, toxins, the air pollution around Ground Zero and all that stuff. And these people are, to this day, slowly dying off. And every 5 years or so, they got to go back to Congress and plead their case for medical aid because they're not getting the medical aid that was promised to them that should be given to them, because these are heroes of this date that we're supposed to remember. So it's a very, it angers me, because it's like whenever you say, I respect the troops and I respect those that serve the army or whatever, but yet you don't give them any financing. You try to cut away their medical aid, the Veteran Affairs insurance, and you hardly give them any. You underclothe them and you don't give them enough equipment while they're over there. The money really actually goes to these private contractors who are just milking it for all they got and poorly dressing up the actual troops who are going there for like a salary of like 18 to 20,000 a year, which is it's less than minimum. It's less than minimum wage. But you know, you want them to throw their lives into the fray, and you know, it angers me. So I always try to ignore 9/11. I don't ever watch the news, and unfortunately, my mom, of course, while I'm eating breakfast, she has the TV on, it's there, whatever. I zoomed out of the house, went to school, and of course, I'm taking a class on American government. It's, you know, it's a poli-sci class, political science class, specifically American government. It's an intro course, and it's interesting because, you know, we're rereading the Constitution, we're rereading excerpts from Frederick Douglass, you know, the slave who, you know, freed himself and self-taught himself to read and write and wrote about the Constitution and how it doesn't mention about slaves and property, and it talks about, you know, we the people. So in fact, we are also have these unalienable rights that you're giving these white landowners. And you know, and we're just reading about the laws that make up the government, you know, the Constitution, the Articles, the Bill of Rights, the powers of Congress, the ability to impeach, all these things that are definitely significant in today's climate. And, you know, it bears weight and meaning. And yet, unfortunately, the Founding Fathers did not, like Sam Cedar from the Majority Report said, the Founding Fathers did think of a despot and a tyrannical leader possibly taking over, and that's why the Articles of Impeachment was written into the Constitution. What they did not foresee was that even an opposing party, which the Democratic Party are supposed to be, because he is a Republican, so you would naturally think they're polar opposites. Democrat would oppose the Republicans, and if this Republican is abusing power, you would think, ergo, the Democratic Party would try to impeach. But the leader, the Speaker of the House, who is Nancy Pelosi, who is a Democrat, she's not doing anything. And her reasoning for not doing anything, she has all these stupid, lame talking points to the press. But from a strategic point, in her mind, she believes this guy is the perfect scarecrow. He, like the way terrorists in the Mideast used the U.S., the scary U.S., as a recruitment tool, she's sort of using that kind of strategy. This boogeyman that is Donald Trump is the perfect, well, he's the perfect boogeyman. He will help bring in that money, that capital that we need to finance the upcoming elections for our handpicked, you know, candidates throughout the country, which is dumb. You can't just run on a we're better than Trump campaign. You have to give the voters, your constituents, something to vote for, like Bernie Sanders is giving us, you know, universal health care and free education and increasing the cap on Social Security and trying to get rid of these stupid wars and try and the Green New Deal and so on and so forth. So it's frustrating. And it's, and oh yeah, why did I bring up Nancy Pelosi? Well, it's funny because I'm in my American governments class and I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna get away from 9/11, and unfortunately, nope, the teacher brings it up, and I don't even remember why he brought up 9/11. I mean, because it was 9/11, the day to remember, and we talked about it a little bit, and no, sorry, it was actually, ironically, it was not American history that brought it up. I didn't have that class. It was my film class brought it up, my media class, the class where we're learning how to produce movies and stuff. The teacher brought it up because he was just graduating or was at school at NYU. No. I'm getting my stories mixed up. So he wasn't at school in 9/11 during 9/11 because he was already professional. He was working for ABC or for the news department of ABC News, and he was editing film about 9/11. That's why he brought it up. But also because he went to NYU back in his time in 1976, so before I was even born, he was a college student at NYU, and he was just showing pictures of, there was a specific picture that he showed where, you know, he's leaning over on a taxi cab because he was financing his education as a taxi cab driver. So I'm guessing at that time the medallions were more affordable. They weren't $1 million. So he could buy a medallion and drive his taxi cab to, you know, drive people around the city. And in the backdrop of the picture was the Twin Towers, because, you know, that's when they were erected in the 70s. I forget exactly what year specific, but anyways, so that's what brought it up. So I thought I got away from it from the government class, but no, the film class actually brought it up, and it was just an indirect. It wasn't that much, so I'm not too bothered by him bringing it up. He just, I don't know. Everyone wants to remember. And of course, Sam Cedar did bring it up a little bit on his show as well, because, you know, he lived in the city at the time and he tried filming it off of the roof of his building. He didn't show us any of the footage, and it wasn't good footage anyway because he was on the other side, so you couldn't actually see the impact. You were only seeing the side that wasn't impacted from, you know, the explosion, from the crashes. Anyway, let's move on. I'm done with this. I really don't want to talk about it. I get triggered by 9/11. But anyways, so as I mentioned, I am going to try to keep this short, but we're already at 12 minutes, so we'll see how successful I am with that. I'm not recording weekly anymore, obviously, because I'm generally recording on Mondays or Tuesdays, and this recording is being done on Friday the 13th of all things. And that's because, of course, I am busy with schoolwork. But I think I've managed to give myself a little breathing room right now. I'm still compelled enough to want to record this episode, so here I am. So I'm just going to try. Well, not try, I'm doing it. But I can't promise there'll be another show next week or the week after that, just because time is very limited in my life right now. But exercising. I was trying to exercise every week. I was trying to increase my exercise activity every week, you know, trying to do more than once a week. I haven't done that. In fact, this week I haven't even gone to the gym. So I try to make up for it a little bit today by doing some push-ups, some planks, and some squats. And I will be taking a little walk outside after this recording, after I'm done posting it and everything, just to, because I need to, you know, make my steps and burn some calories, and I can't be a schlub. But yeah, schoolwork has been eating up on my ability to try to even go to the gym. And of course, it's also affecting my diet. Unfortunately, there aren't really many vegan, well, there's maybe one or two vegan choices, but I'm trying to save time. So within walking distance, and by walking distance for me, I mean like literally in front of the school, there are no vegan choices. I would have to walk a few blocks. And if I do that, that eats away from my free time that I can use to do my homework when I'm done eating. So yes, it's a little bit of a struggle. And I think I'm giving up my veganism for now. I'm going to try to eat more vegetables where I can. But yeah, I'm eating chicken here and there. And I, I, def- although that's all the more reason why I need to exercise a lot more. But we shall see where that's going to go. So, of course, iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro and iPhone 11 Pro Max were announced this week on Tuesday. So that happened. That was fun. I am thinking of, well, no, I'm not thinking. I'm getting the 11 Pro Max. I'm going, once again, going back to the big phone, which is funny because I was complaining about the 10S Max before, a year ago at least. And yet here I am going back to the big phone. And it's funny because I watched the keynote and I thought, it's definitely an Apple keynote. It's well marketed. It's well executed. It looks great. It's very flashy. And I can see how it will compel people to buy. But I myself am not really compelled to buy anything. Now, I know this sounds like a contradiction because I just said that I'm going to get the new 11 Pro Max. So let me explain. I was the keynote did not convince me to buy it. I saw all the stuff, you know, I heard all the talking points and it was nice. The videos were cool. The 1 year free Apple TV Plus with any new purchase is a nice incentive. And, you know, it was a fun keynote. I enjoyed it. And it is a good phone. It's going to be a nice phone. The cameras are amazing. And ironically, this time around, that is what's making me get it. Not because I want it. Though, obviously, somewhere in the back of this decision, there is this subconscious impulse of mine because, as you all know, I am, my vice, my weakness is technology. So, I have been averaging a new phone every year. So, this isn't completely out of character for me, even though I always say I'm not going to buy the next phone. But hear me out. So, I wasn't compelled by the keynote, I keep saying it, but I am a film major and I am taking this film camera class and we're talking about wide angle shots and medium wide and extra wide angle shots. And in the keynote, they were also talking about this new software. Well, it'll allow you to record two people across from each other with the same phone because you'll be able to use the front camera, the new improved front camera, as well as the back camera. And so I'm thinking in terms of my major. I'm getting the phone for my major. That is my rationale this time around. How close to the truth and honesty is that claim? Only time will tell. But that is what I am thinking of. I am thinking that especially once I am done with this class and I have that little break after class, I will need to practice my camera shots. And this new camera will give me the tools, it's not an actual movie camera. It's not a physical camera. It's a camera, still a camera on the phone. But hey, what's the best camera? As they say, the best camera is the one that's always in your possession. And that always happens to be my iPhone. And so this would be the best cameras I can possibly get for myself at this moment in time that will always be on my person. It's definitely a better camera system than my current iPhone XR. Not only that, especially because of the new night vision photo capabilities that the new phone will have. That's definitely something my current phone cannot do. So, and the other thing I am using as a sort of a defense and sort of a way to mollify a little bit of my sort of guilt of doing this, going against my own word that I said I wasn't going to upgrade, but now I'm rationalizing it. It's a professional choice, and by professional, not really, because I'm not getting paid to be a film producer or filmmaker. I am I'm still an amateur, but I'm trying to work on my skill. But I will be handing my iPhone XR to my mom. I was originally going to trade it in for the $375 credit or whatever that will cut down the price on my purchase. However, my mom's current phone that I got her is the SE, which was a nice affordable phone. She's had it for, it's going to be 2 years in October. and her warranty is about to expire because I get her the Apple Care. So I figured, you know what? This would be my current phone would be a nice upgrade to my for my mom. A huge upgrade, actually, because she's using an iPhone SE. This is a XR. This is like 3 or 4 generations advanced from her current phone. Not to mention it's going to be a bigger screen. You know, she has vision. She's farsighted. So anything close up, it's kind of hard for her to look at things on her iPhone SE at the moment. So the XR would be a nice upgrade for her. And, you know, I'm going to help adjust the settings for her so she can make the text bigger as well. Not to mention she'll be able to see her grandchildren's photos a lot better because it's a bitter, image quality on that screen is also better. And it's a bigger screen anyway. So regardless, it'll be a better experience for her just because the camera, the screen itself is bigger. So the pictures will be bigger and the video will be bigger and so on. So I already mentioned I'm going to get the 11 Pro Max. The iPhone 11 is just an upgraded version of the XR. That's not going to... I mean, it does have a better camera setup. However, the Pro has the 3 cameras. So it gives you the wide and the extra wide. And then there's the telephoto, which, again, that would definitely help me for close-ups, which filmmakers also do the close-ups on their films. So it's definitely something that I am going to push myself to do. Since I'm getting this phone, I should definitely use it as a camera, which I've never really done on any of my phones. I don't really care for the camera myself personally. However, this is now something that I'm trying to do, or I'm hoping to do professionally. So it's something I definitely have to work on. So it's going to be like an exercise for me. And so I'm going to have to push myself. Okay, a couple more things, and then we are done with this episode. Did you know that women in the U.S. got the right to vote in 1920? So I just came across this little tidbit. I mean, I kind of already learned this back in high school. But, you know, sometimes you forget things or it's just stuck in the back of your head and you don't think about it until something brings it out. And this was brought up in another media class that I'm taking, Images of Resistance, where we were watching pre-Soviet Union. It was a film done during the time of the Soviet Union by a filmmaker. It was called... Director with a Camera or Man with a Camera or something to that effect. I don't remember. I have it written down somewhere and I'm not going to bother pulling on my notebook. I don't need to spend any more time doing things. But anyway, point was, this was done around 1920 exactly. And she was just bringing up the reason why the teacher brought it up is because around that time, of course, the Red Scare was happening. The Cold War was happening. And America was giving out this false narrative that Russia, it's still a peasant country and they're primitive and they're out of fashion. You know, they're just from a different world. They're prehistoric in comparison to us more modern societies. And yet here we have this film that was made around that time period. And you see these women, they look like film actresses from the 1920s. They have the bob cut, they have the fashion of the time. I mean, there were some older women in the film that were dressed the part of like a peasantry or whatever. But the younger women and men of the 20s, in their 20s, I should say, were dressed like folk in any other Western civilization in the 20s, and you wouldn't have even known in the very beginning of the movie that it was in Russia until you started seeing the Russian writing. So yet these women seem to be more liberated than actual women from the U.S. because they just got in the right to vote in the 1920s. So it's a nice contrast there. But anyway, we're in 2019. 1920 was 99 years ago. So less than 100 years ago, women got the right to vote. So that's just an interesting little factoid, trivia, if you will. Because, you know, I'm reading up on American government and we're talking about rights and equality and what have you. And yet it's only been 99 years that women had the right to vote. And, you know, slavery was in the inception of this country, and we're still having a lot of issues with racism and inequality and so on. Which brings us to my last topic of the day, of the episode, the Democratic debates. They just happened. I saw the second half of it. I missed the first half. I started hearing some of the first half, and it's a waste of time. Not a lot was done. The moderators on ABC, it was an ABC presented debate. They were definitely rigging it. At least they try to help Joe Biden as much as they could. They definitely were trying to get anyone else on that stage a better story post debate. You know what I'm saying? They were giving everyone else as much. They were basically trying to silence Bernie Sanders, is where I'm getting at. They gave him the least amount of time to speak. They kept trying to bolster other candidates by giving them more questions and more time to talk and spread their point of view and their, I don't want to just flat out say lies or whatever, but their agenda. And of course, they're willing to at least bolster Elizabeth Warren over Bernie. And they were very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not premeditated, though that's sort of where I'm getting. It was definitely contrived. It was very contrived. They gave very little time. As I mentioned, they gave Bernie very little time to talk. In fact, unless someone mentioned his name, he almost wasn't going to be brought up at all. So, because whenever someone's name is mentioned, they have the right to rebut. So whenever Joe Biden or somebody brought up his name, he had a chance to finally say something. And then they would try to go to Elizabeth Warren so that she could sort of take away some of that wind and shine a little higher or brighter than Bernie and just give, you know, just whatever they could to get him out of the spotlight. And so they did from a TV presentation point of view, they got the job done. And then, of course, you then have the media, like the New York Times, saying that he didn't really do much, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But you didn't give him much time you didn't give him any time to do anything. And it was frustrating. And like I said, if you didn't watch it, you didn't miss much. It's the same little things. They had a Hispanic guy there from Univision. I forget it. Something Ramos. Jorge Ramos, I think is his name. Who's very pro Godot. He's definitely has a thing against Maduro. Not to say that Maduro is a saint or anything, but he essentially is pushing the CIA talking points that this guy's a dictator, and because Venezuela is labeled a communist country, he's trying to use that to help link Sanders to that and give the negative connotation of democratic socialism, and because that's labeling him Sanders socialist, which is and communist together, and showing how if this country is suffering under this person's leadership, then you're going to be the same, you know, trying to do a false equivalency that you're going to be the same and be the same type of dictator or whatever. And it was disgusting. It was appalling. And it was just, what am I trying to say? It was so perpetuated and obviously set up to just, you know, not give Bernie much of a chance to say anything and to try to sort of like backpedal from his own stances and his own points and then try to get him to trip and stumble. And of course, he instead what he would do is he would use the Scandinavian countries' socialistic paradigms, like not Switzerland. I think he said Switzerland and Norway, or Sweden is actually what I'm thinking of. Sweden and those countries, their version of socialism, saying that's what I'm trying to set up here. instead of also defending what's going on with Venezuela. But, you know, they're only given like 30 or 40 seconds to talk, and then they'll move on to someone else. And, you know, it's just unjust. It's unjust. But that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to bolster other people's star power or whatever, so that people can stop talking about Bernie or stop looking at him and hope that this will help dissuade voters from electing him. I don't believe that's going to work, though, because Bernie has a movement behind him. He has a grassroots campaign going around the country, so this one debate is not enough to derail him. That's the word, derail. They're trying to derail him. And it's not enough to derail him, because this debate isn't going to have much of a factor to the people that already have been following and supporting him and donating and going to his rallies. And yeah, this has nothing to do with his grassroots campaign. And also going on Joe Rogan, where he got 3 million viewers. It's probably gotten bigger by now. But yeah, he's doing other things to get his message across the country. And this debate is not gonna be the one that does him in. And wow, we're at the 30-minute mark. So I think this is it for now. I hope to not spend too much time editing. But yes, if you have any questions, comments, what have you, you can reach me at my website, juliofromnewyorkshow.com. Click on the contact section of the webpage and write to me there. Or you can follow me on Twitter at juliofromny. And that's all I have to say. So until next time. Thank you for listening.